The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Good morning, and thank you for joining me. Well, it's a wonderful day here in Columbus. The Buckeyes won, even though it was just kind of just barely, it seemed. But they did win, and so they're going to continue their march. I'd like to thank, first of all, thank you for getting up and joining me this morning. I'd also like to thank Gail Hogan for being my guest host last week, and also my guest, who was interviewed by Gail, Dr. Steven Gansberg. I thought it was a very informative show, and Dr. Gansberg was a wonderful guest, and Gail did a great job, so thank you guys. This week, we also have a great show. We have with us on the phone, which we'll get to in a minute, Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan, and DDS, FICD, and FACD, and maybe he can explain to us later what all those letters stand for. But before we do, before I introduce Dr. Buchanan, I'd like to throw out today's question of the day. As you know, we have this question of the day each week, and we welcome your guesses. You can call us at 821-1230, or you can send an email, and you can send that email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com, and I'll be happy to read your guesses on the air. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls as well. So, today's question is, what percent of root canal treatments done at the current state of the art fail? All right? What percent of root canal treatments done at the current state of the art actually fail? All right, give it some thought, and give us your guesses, and we will read them on the air and give you the answer towards the end of the show. Now, I am very pleased and proud to say that I do have Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan with me on the show today. He was the valedictorian of his class at the University of the Pacific School of Dentistry, and he completed the endodontic graduate program at Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1980. Dr. Buchanan began pursuing 3D anatomy research early in his career, and in 1986, he became the first person in dentistry to use micro-CT technology to show the intricacies of root structure. In 1989, he established dental education laboratories and subsequently built a state-of-the-art teaching laboratory devoted to hands-on endodontic instruction, where he continues to teach today. Through dental education laboratories, he has lectured and conducted participation courses around the world, published numerous articles, and produced an award-winning video series called The Art of Endodontics. In addition to his activities as an educator and practicing clinician, Dr. Buchanan holds a number of patents for dental instruments and techniques. Most notably, he was the first to introduce variably tapered shaping instruments for use in endodontic therapy and pioneered a system-based approach to treating root canals. He is a diplomat of the American Board of Endodontics and a fellow of the International and American Colleges of Dentistry. He also serves as an assistant clinical professor at the University of Southern California School of Dentistry and at the University of California Los Angeles School of Dentistry. Dr. Buchanan also maintains a private practice limited to endodontics and implant surgery in Santa Barbara, California. Dr. Buchanan, it's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for getting up so early in the morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It is early out here in the West Coast, but I've been up for an hour, and I'm looking forward to this interview.
Well, great, great. Like I said, we're happy to have you. I wanted to start by asking you to just explain what is a root canal, because a lot of people don't understand even what it is. In fact, I know some of my patients think a root canal is when we cut off the roots. They think it's surgery where you numb them and you cut the gums and you cut the roots off. And obviously that's not the case. So would you please give us your expert definition of what is a root canal?
Sure. Actually, a root canal is a tiny space inside of your tooth and the roots that hold it into your jawbone. So when people say I have had a root canal, it's a little bit inaccurate. They have root canals in every single one of their teeth. What they really mean is they had to have one of those root canal spaces treated.
Right. So it's the hollow center, and it has to be filled with some inert material that does not react, therefore, with the body. And once you plug that little opening, bacteria can no longer hide from the bloodstream inside the chamber of your tooth, right?
Exactly. These little tiny spaces are actually what's left after the formative process. So if you could think of a line of tissue cells lined up in a circle facing outward away from the inside of the circle, that's how our bodies start forming roots in the teeth. And those cells secrete the substance that becomes the tooth, becomes mineralized, and when they finish their process, they've all kind of backed into the center of the tooth, and that tissue is called the dental pulp. So once the tooth is formed, we don't really need to have a dental pulp for a healthy functioning tooth, but when that pulp tissue is injured, we can have significant pain during that degenerative process. And after it dies, then that empty space that's left is, as you said, a safe harbor for bacteria to live in, which can infect our patient's jaw. So we need to enter that little space, clean out any dying tissue, certainly eliminate any bacteria present, and then, as you also said, put a hermetic sealant material in there so the bacteria can't reinvade the space.
Yeah, I can't even say hermetic this early in the morning, so thank you for doing that.
But, I'm fully caffeinated.
I'm on decaf, so it's not helping. So basically, you've just explained why we even need to do a root canal, because you have this opening that's left over from the embryologic development of teeth, correct?
Right, yep.
Okay. So if teeth somehow formed from the outside in, we wouldn't even there wouldn't be endodontists, probably.
If they would continue forming tooth structure until the space was gone, you're right. We might need to give them an antibiotic, and that'd take care of the problem.
Okay. I want to go to the phones, and we do have more questions, but we have a listener on the line. Nathan from Columbus is on line one. Nathan, what's your question?
Good morning, Dr. Pico.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Thanks. Yes, my question was, Dr. Buchanan, and you, I've had a root canal on one of my upper front teeth.
Yes.
And I had it for, it was sensitive to hot and cold, and I had a root canal probably a year or so ago, and it's still periodically sensitive. Is there a reason for that, or is it, does it need to be retreated? What can cause that, and what can you do to treat that?
Actually, I'm going to let Dr. Buchanan answer that in a second, but it just struck me that your question kind of goes along with our question of the day. So while Dr. Buchanan is giving you his answer, why don't you think of your guess for just how many, what is the failure rate, I guess, of a root canal? So Dr. Buchanan, what would you say to Nathan? And maybe ask him some questions if you need more info. I think we may have lost Dr. Buchanan temporarily. And Nathan, are you there? Okay, I think we lost Nathan. And so basically, no, I don't think I'm hearing Dr. Buchanan, but while we're trying to get him back, I'll go ahead and give my some information that I would have for Nathan. And that is when a tooth has had a root canal, in most cases everything is fine, but there are these few instances where for some reason some of the inflammatory cells, okay, are still present. Maybe not all of them. Maybe the seal wasn't completely hermetic like Dr. Buchanan was speaking. So Dr. Buchanan, were you able to hear Nathan's question?
Yes.
Oh, okay, it's Nathan that's back. All right, Nathan, I don't think you heard me. I'm starting to give an answer to your question, but since your question kind of is part of the question of the day, meaning what percent of root canals fail, while I'm giving you the answer or we get Dr. Buchanan back, then think about what your guess might be. Of course, in you, if you've only had one root canal, that would be like 100%. But anyway, so if you have a root canal and for some reason the seal is not quite hermetic, you maybe heard Dr. Buchanan use that word, or there's inflammation that's going on up at the apex or the end of your root that has not yet been completely eradicated, it can continue to hurt. Now, sometimes it can be treated with antibiotic therapy to kill the bacteria that's still up there. Sometimes it can be taken care of with anti-inflammatory agents, such as, aspirin or ibuprofen. It could be something stronger, like a methylprednisolone, a mild steroid. But the other thing that can make a tooth that's had a root canal sore would be if the bite is off. So even though this tooth is, essentially dead or, by definition maybe dead, it's still alive in the sense that it has little fibers that hold it to the tooth and gum. And they do have sensation, and they can get bruised, and they can make your tooth sore. So those are three different things. And then I guess the other is, in some cases, there are lateral canals or accessory canals. Teeth that are supposed to have one canal could possibly have two that were not visible, or both were not visible on an x-ray. And so in rare instances, and it is pretty rare, you might have to have the tooth looked into, opened up, and look for that second canal or third canal, even though it's a one-rooted tooth. So, but yours was a year ago, and it's not constantly hurting, but it's sometimes, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. Is there anything that makes it better or worse?
Sometimes I'll take, a leaf, or, anti-inflammatory, and it seems to take the edge off.
Okay.
And that usually, it's never been so bad that I thought that I needed another root canal.
And so, and you can't really put your finger on anything that actually makes it start to hurt. So is it with cold liquids? Is it when you chew a lot of things, or you've bitten into something hard? Or is it when you're laying down or standing up or after exercise? Anything that you can correlate to the pain?
Sometimes, if I bite right into something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes cold things will irritate it, but nothing else really.
Nothing else really?
Mm-hmm.
Teeth that have had root canals have been known to develop root fractures. Root fractures tend not to show up on an x-ray because they're in the wrong plane. And so essentially, they would you could get some symptoms that would gradually, show up to be more and more than originally. Or it could just go away with the Aleve and an antibiotic regimen. So keep your dentist informed. And do you have a question? I guess for the question of the day, since you happen to be one of those folks where it feels like your root canal may not be a success.
Yeah, well, even though I don't think mine's a success, I know quite a few people that have had root canals, and I think that most of the time that takes care of the problem. So I'm going to go ahead and guess 15%.
15%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to write that down, and we'll keep track. So thank you so much for your call and your guess, and good luck with your root canal, and I'm pretty sure your dentist will be able to get you straightened out.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye now. Okay, so moving on, we've already talked about why root canals need to be treated, and it's the fact that there is this opening that Dr. Buchanan mentioned and described, and one of the things, my producer works the phones to try to get Dr. Buchanan back, and I want to save some of these things for him because I consider him more of an expert on the topic, but something, a little tidbit here, just so that you know, as of August of 2006, and this is a stat from the American Association of Endodontists, and by the way, endodontists are the ones that do root canals, and endodontists, or endodontics, comes from a Latin word endo, which means inside, and dontos, which means tooth. So endodontists basically work inside the tooth. So the American Association of Endodontists, as of August of 2006, has a stat that says there were 90% of the root canals done in this country are done by general dentists. Just a little tidbit there. We do need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this talk, and I have a couple other tidbits, plus we'll take your questions at 821-1230, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and with me today on the phone is Dr. Stephen Buchanan, actually Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan, Dr. Buchanan, I'm sorry about the phone problems that we were having, and I'm so glad that we've got you back. I don't know if you were able to hear Nathan's question or not. Were you?
No, the phone line cut out right after he got online.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you, his question was that he had a root canal about a year ago, and ever since, on and off again, sometimes when he bites, sometimes with cold, it hurts. And he said that he'll take a leave and it'll be fine, but he's wondering why he has this sensation and wonders what can be done about it. And I gave him my answer, but I also told the listeners that I would love to hear your expert answer on that, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and answer Nathan's question also.
Certainly. If there's persistent thermal sensitivity, if a tooth hurts to hot or cold after root canal treatment is done, that could mean several things. First off, there's still some of that pulp tissue that's inside the tooth that's present. So it could either be that it was a tooth of several canals and one of them was hard to find and so needs further treatment, or sometimes people have more than one tooth that needs root canal treatment. And so he needs to get back to his dentist and have some testing done to reproduce his symptoms. When a patient comes in and says it hurts when I drink cold fluids, then we put a little piece of ice on different teeth and find out which active. It's sometimes hard to tell which tooth is giving that response to cold or hot, but if a tooth is sore to bite on, that's really easy. You just go around and tap with your fingernail on different teeth and the patient will tell us, yeah, that's the one. So it needs further diagnosis and probably some further treatment.
Some further treatment on that tooth or an adjacent tooth?
Well, his dentist needs to make sure there's not another tooth involved, and if it's just the tooth that was treated before, I need to re-enter the tooth and look around and see if there isn't a canal that was missed.
Now, he told me it was a front tooth, upper front tooth. Are there oftentimes accessory canals in upper front teeth?
Most front teeth just have one canal, although if it was a lower front tooth, they can have two.
Yeah, lower ones have two. So, assuming then can we... And what about accessory canals in upper front teeth? Is that common?
Accessory canals are present in every tooth. These are the branching canals that come off of the side of the main canal that goes up the length of the root. But an accessory canal would not usually cause a tooth to be sensitive to cold or heat because it's further up the root away from where the patient would put the cold food on the tooth that's exposed from the gum tissue.
Okay. All right. I also give out a little tidbit that says that 90% of root canals done in this country are done by general practitioners. And I also have a stat that says there are 14 million root canals performed every year in this country, and that's according to the American Association of Endodontists as of August of 2006. I couldn't find anything more current than that. What that means is, about, if you're using those numbers, about 12,600,000 root canals are done by general dentists. And I'm not sure. Do you know how many endodontists there even are in the country?
There's something around 3,500 to 4,000.
3,500 to 4,000 endodontists. Okay.
There's more than 100,000 general dentists doing root canal procedures.
Wow. Okay. So would you say then? I guess I'm trying to figure this out. Are most of the molars the ones being done by the endodontist, and the other teeth by GPs, or do we know the breakdown? Because it doesn't sound like there's enough endodontists to go around to do all of the root canals that are done in the country.
It depends on what part of the country you're in. If you're on the East Coast or West Coast, there are definitely more than enough endodontists. When we get out of graduate school, we seem to gravitate towards one of the coasts.
Okay.
In the middle of the country, there are fewer of them. And it's true that 90% of all root canals are done by general dentists. Whether a given tooth is done by the general dentist that the patient sees all the time or if they're referred to a specialist depends on the training and skill level of the general dentist. There are general dentists that have sought a lot of continuing education, have quite a bit of experience, and they do most of the root canals in their practice. Those dentists will only refer the really tough teeth. Typically molars, they might have calcification inside, which makes it hard to find the canals. They might have really severe curvatures. Roots on teeth are not all straight. And there are other dentists who don't do any root canals and send all their patients that need that procedure to an endodontist.
So at the dental education laboratories, the training that you do, is that for general dentists or is it for endodontists?
We train general dentists as well as specialists.
Okay. All right, so it's you're happy to teach any dentist out there that wants to learn to do a better root canals. And essentially the topic of today's topic I entitled endodontics or root canals, of course, for the public at large, what's old and what's new. And so basically what would be old about root canals, you know, like what's new?
What's old about root canals is in days past we had a hard time getting teeth numb, so the procedure itself could be very uncomfortable. That's part of where the bad reputation came. Tell somebody, I just had root canal treatment. It gave you the look of horror, like maybe they need to feel sorry for you. It's no longer the case, fortunately, because we have better anesthetics and better techniques for treating teeth so that there is much less discomfort involved. It used to take a lot of visits. In my practice, probably 85% of the teeth I treat are finished in a single visit.
Right, that's single visit.
Nobody wants to come back for three or four visits to have the root canal treated. Our imaging wasn't as good. Today we have digital imaging, which is great for patients because it decreases the absorbed radiation. It's much safer for them. For the dentist doing the root canals, having digital imaging allows better imaging. You can see what's going on better. Some of us have CT machines in our offices, so we can scan a patient and look at the tooth in three dimensions. And that really helps if you're having trouble finding a canal or you're having trouble figuring out if the tooth had a root canal and it needs to be retreated or extracted. It helps us figure out whether the tooth is worth saving.
So we have better tools available to us, better numbing. The imaging is very important because it allows us to see stereoscopically the root canal system. We do need to go to a break, and I know I've interrupted you in the middle of your answer, but when we come back, we'll get the rest of your answer. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking, with Dr. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. And today my guest is Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan. And Dr. Buchanan, I gave the DDS, FICD, and FACD. Would you tell me, I know what the DDS is, Doctor of Dental Surgery, and I know that the FACD, maybe I don't know. Why don't you just tell us all?
It designates a fellow of the American College of Dentists and the International College of Dentists.
Okay, the International College.
It's just a dental fraternity of dentists who innovate and teach.
Okay.
Their specialties in their field.
Because as soon as I started this day, I think I knew what FACD was. I realized I was thinking of FAGDA. That's not the same thing. So I interrupted your answer then as far as, and maybe you were almost finished with, you're talking about the what's new. But go ahead.
Okay, well, the other thing that's, so we mentioned anesthetics and imaging as being improvements for the patient experience. Another one is the use of sedative medications. Having root canal treatment or any dental procedure can be anxiety provoking, and there's a fair number of patients out there who have had a bad experience in the past and may have developed a phobia, and it's not something you can rationally control. So premedicating those patients on what we call anxiolytics or things that reduce anxiety, not only help them get through that experience in a very relaxed manner, but they also help them feel better and about dental procedures in general.
Just so you know,
yep.
I use that at my office as well, and the last two shows that we did, last two Sundays, were we had dentist anesthesiologists on where we covered oral sedation and intravenous sedation on both adults and children, so it is a big, big adjunct, and I don't know how I would practice without it. So.
Oh, yeah. It's not only hard on patients, it's hard on dentists when patients are very anxious. So that's another improvement in the patient experience. In terms of the dentist experience, we've virtually reinvented specialty of endodontics. The introduction of microscopes, these little ultrasonic devices to cut had very fine preparations so that we could find calcified canals. We used to have to do all of our preparation procedures in the root canals with what we call hand files, little root canal files that we operate by hand. Now we put them in hand pieces. And instead of 18 instruments, we typically use 1 to 3 instruments. It used to take half an hour. Now it often is done, the same procedure is done better in less than a minute. And we have new filling procedures that are more thorough. You mentioned accessory canals. If we have a lot of side canals on teeth, it becomes very critical that we clean those out and seal those up. And our new filling techniques allow that to happen with less training and less time. And then the last thing that came to mind in terms of new technology was use of CT imaging. That's really revolutionized my practice.
Now, I didn't realize that people were using this. Are you saying people are getting, you're sending them to have the ICAT or a scan prior to a root canal?
We wouldn't do it on every patient that needs a root canal. I have a Merida Acutomo CT machine in my office, and as you know, I do implant surgery now. I got it thinking that I was going to use it to
implants.
Computer planning of implant surgery.
Right.
But it's actually turned out to be way more often for endodontic diagnosis.
Okay.
So if I have a tooth that has been treated and is now failing, quite often it's hard to tell why it's failing, whether there's a fracture in the tooth, how much bone tissue around the tooth is healthy. And we do a CT scan, and then we can look serially through the cross-sections vertically or horizontally and see everything about that tooth.
So
it helps us make better decisions.
Yeah, would you say then might not be a bad idea for someone like Nathan, for his dentist to maybe see about getting a CT scan rather than beating their head against the wall trying to guess?
Oh, absolutely. And in any major city, you're going to see imaging centers, so it's not a tough thing to send a patient out to have a scan. And then they send a disc or an email the images back to you, and you can move through them find out the data that you want. I would say that the machine that they use makes a big difference.
Which machine do you propose?
The Merida Acutomo has the highest resolution. It's got a smaller field of view, but the resolution is equivalent to a periapical film. So I can see cracks in roots. I can see fourth canals and molars. It's quite amazing.
Now, there's only about three out there. There's the ICAT, the one you mentioned.
ICAT is the most commonly sold. They're a good machine, but they're a lower resolution, and they also have more absorbed radiation to the patient, and they would be ideal for orthodontics, for oral surgery, for implant surgery. But to an endodontist, you really need the finer detail.
And what's the third one? I'm trying to remember the third machine. Oh, I saw it just the other day. You can't either.
There's like another four or five of them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, actually, I know the ICAT's the most common, and I'm under some pressure from some salespeople to pick one and buy it. I do have an imaging center locally that I'm able to send folks to that's not associated with another dentist, which makes that pretty convenient. But so a good idea then for these teeth that just seem to continue to be sore would be a scan, and you recommend the J. Merida. But can you give me the different things, the thoughts? Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to go to a break here in about another minute, but I almost shouldn't have. Well, I'll ask you the question anyway. And what's the thought process that you go through when someone says, my tooth that I had my root canal on still hurts, and how do you determine, you know, what's going on there leading on up to a time when you might request a CT scan? So contemplate your answer and be ready for when we come back after the break.
Certainly.
Before I go, I want people to know this show is available by podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com. And if you go there, you click on air, which gives you the name of everyone on the air, drop down box, click on Dr. Kavitko, brings you to my page, and on that page it'll say click here to go to podcast page. And if you do that, you can left-click on the word listen for any show that you would like to hear. So we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. At 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking. And today on the show, our guest is Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan. And Dr. Buchanan is an endodontist. who practices out in Santa Barbara, California. And before the break, we asked Dr. Buchanan to give us his thought process, what he would do, what he's thinking if somebody has a root canal and they say, well, my tooth is still sore. You know, how do you know if it's inflammation? How do you know if it's infection? That kind of thing. So, Dr. Buchanan.
That's a great question. The first thing I'd say is it's normal to have a sore tooth for 2 to 7 days after treatment. There's a natural healing process that has to go on after the treatment. A tooth that's been treated endodontically should feel like your other teeth within about 30 days, though.
Okay.
So the first, assuming it's not the healing period, the first thing that needs to be done is to re-diagnose the case and make sure it's the tooth that was treated that is still sore. Sometimes patients have non-root canal problems that present and seem like a root canal problem. Most patients find it hard to believe, but you can have a muscle cramp in your face from clenching your teeth. It seems just like a root canal problem.
You can also have sinus pressure, which puts
pressure. Right. And sometimes pretty severe or serious medical problems, even oral cancer, that could mimic root canal problems. So diagnosis, another round of diagnosis is critical. This is really where endodontists come into play. When a case is treated and it hasn't worked out, it becomes more difficult to retreat these than do it the first time. And so that's really what endodontists exist for, is taking care of more difficult problems. If the root canal is not treated all the way to the ends of each of the canals, if a canal has been missed, then simply opening the tooth up and retreating it is a recommended treatment. Sometimes there is damage or canals that can't be found through the top of the tooth, and it requires a little minor microsurgical procedure to seal the end of the root.
Right, apical?
Right, retrograde.
Retrograde fill.
Surgery, right.
Well, doesn't it have something to do with the condition of the tooth at the time the endodontic therapy was performed, though? For example, a tooth that is very infected, there's a fistulous tract, might give you pause for different concern than a tooth that didn't have that, or maybe a tooth that just recently died and wasn't yet infected. How does that affect your thought process?
Well, a sinus tract is a little drainage path from the end of the tooth through their jawbone to the gum tissue area. That in itself doesn't cause pain. That if that persists, that means that all the infection was not removed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the so you're saying it doesn't really matter if there's an infection prior to a root canal, it'll heal up just like one that doesn't seem to have any infection.
Exactly.
Will heal. Okay.
If we're through our treatment, having an infection in your tooth should not affect the outcome at all. The things that will affect the tooth's health, in spite of great treatment, is if there's been too much tooth structure damaged by decay or previous dental procedures. If the patient has a serious gum infection, that can persist after the root canal treatment is finished. Or if the tooth has a fracture, we don't think about it, but if you're 60 years old, you had an adult tooth, all your adult teeth, or at least 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
and with just normal chewing function, we have tremendous forces that we exert on teeth. If we clench and grind our teeth, as probably 70% of the population does at one time or another, it's a lot of stress, and sometimes teeth just break. And if a root is fractured in a tooth, there's no way to save it. That would be a case that we recommend extraction and replacement of the chewing function with a dental implant.
Okay. And so an implant is something that you have added into your services that you offer. So then if you look at this tooth either through a CAT scan or other means and just feel that it's not in the patient's best interest to save, then you'll recommend and probably place an implant.
Yes, exactly. Implants are fairly miraculous new technology, relatively new technology that's been around for more than 30 years. But an implant is a cylinder made out of titanium. And our patient's jaw tissues react to titanium as if it's perfectly biocompatible. In fact, after we drill the hole and set the implant in, 4 months later, the bone cells have actually grown onto the implant surface and bounded in the patient's jaw. And after that, the implant can have a post put in it and restore it. And if it's done right, it looks exactly like a natural tooth.
I remember when I was in dental school, early research was being done on baboons here at Ohio State University and also through with the Battelle, and they weren't working. And so we take them for granted these days because they do work to a very, very high degree of success. And we forget, I think people don't even know in a lot of cases, that there's a lot of there was a lot of technology, research, and design that had to go into these to make them work. But now that they have figured that out, it's almost 100%.
If it's done right, it's as successful as doing a well-done root canal procedure.
Now, Dr. McKinnon, I'm sorry, go ahead, I interrupted you.
Either a well-done root canal and a tooth that is healthy otherwise, or a well-done implant should work on a level of 98 or 99% success.
Okay. And I think he just gave the answer to our question of the day. So the answer to our question of the day would be a 2% failure rate, right?
If it's well done. There's a wide range of treatment outcomes. If you're doing mediocre procedures, if you're not well trained, the success rate can drop to 70%.
But that is for about the first 10 years, and then after that you have to worry about other things such as root fracture and leakage around the coronal area, right?
Exactly.
And then it would drop down to maybe a 5%, or go up to about a 5% failure rate on average?
Yeah, I think long term we're probably looking at a 95% success rate over 20, 30 years if everything is done ideally.
I like the way your glass is half full and that you're talking about 95% success instead of the failure. The only reason I did the failure was because I wanted to kind of trick up my listeners to have them not realize you could get into those low numbers like 2%. Okay, now...
the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Oh, I'm being told we have to go to a break here. When we come back, though, I read your article, Part 1, Future of Endodontics, where you gave three reasons, and I know Part 2 is coming, but I wanted to ask you if you could just give me a little advanced idea of what Part 2 includes. So when we come, you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230, and when we come back, Dr. Buchanan will enlighten us a little more. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but Were Too Numb to Ask. And my guest on the show this morning is Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan. And Dr. Buchanan, as I'm being told here by my producer, we're down to about 2 or 3 minutes, and I realize that we've just scratched the surface here of what we would like to cover. And so I'm going to hope that I can invite you back for a future show where we can really cover more of these things. I have a whole list of questions here that were given to me. Well, they're basically emails I've received from listeners and patients, and we're not even able to get to those. But
I'd love to come back and spend time with you guys.
That would be great, and I apologize.
Great show.
I think our phone problems added a little bit to that, but honestly, there's just so much here that we just can't do it in one show. So that'd be great. Love to have you back, and after the show's over, we'll pick a date. But yeah, you had the first three as needlessly weakening teeth. You had, and then the next one was maybe going away from surgical retreatment, maybe because of lack of education, and then the last one was inadequate treatment results. And so can you give me the benefit of what part two? What are the things that also are of concern to you?
You know, I was trying to pull up that article on my computer, and I don't have it here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not certain I can tell you what was in the last part of that.
Of the part two article?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, maybe you can ask the author. No, I'm just teasing. Anyway. But
editors cut the article that I wrote in two.
Yeah. Oh, I see. The editor cut your article in two parts?
Right.
Oh, okay. I thought you did it in two parts just to make us want more, want for more. But no, I understand. And I thought it was very informative. And, of course, we have dental students who listen, and we have dentists and, of course, patients, because everybody with teeth is interested in what this is and how we go about it. And but I do apologize for running short on time, and it's great that we can get you back and go into this much more deeply. And I'm interested in the training facility that you have, and I think that's great that you're training dentists to go out and do a better job for all of our patients. So thank you so much for getting up early. Please stay on the line, and we'll talk here in a minute. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and please tune in next Sunday morning at 9, and we'll have another informative show, possibly even Dr. Buchanan, but we don't know about the schedules, so I will be here, and I hope you will too. Thank you for listening.